It's Bucky and Aaron.
He said, now, Bucky, you can buy two bags. They're $4, right? He goes, well, you can buy two for $8, or we got a really good deal. We've got five for $20. And I'm like,
you on Team Girl Scout, Chad?
But when he said,
Team Monkey,
you can buy
Hastings?
Well, yeah, you can buy five boxes for $20. I'm like, oh, my, it feels like I'm getting one for free or two. Wait a minute, they're $4 a piece.
He's got you.
What a clown that was. I got clowned on that deal.
Didn't you just say it was your math that kept you out of North Carolina back in the day? Thursday on the Horn, already a lot of fun. A lot of Buck-ons and Buck-offs coming up in our Coach's Corner. Our barbecue coach will be with us, our man Wayne Miller. Louis Miller Barbecue. He is the pitmaster once again for Horn Bash 2019 and the growing Horn Barbecue Cook-Off. He's going to be the tip of the spear for that bad boy once again, bringing his three generations of smoked meat knowledge to the teams that participate. It's going to be a lot of fun, and he's going to jump on and tell you that it's time to get yourself signed up.
It's a fabulous guy, man. He did the, of course, he did the Mullet Open last year.
He did such a great job. We're talking to him
went crazy.
With the Mullet Open, of course. And
wow.
At Horn Bash 2018 last year, he went around talking and interviewed every team. The cool thing about Horn Bash and our barbecue cook-off, I think, is that it's not sanctioned. So it's for all you guys out there, you recreational smokers that want to try it and compete. And see
there's a lot of chumps out there that did okay.
But there are a lot of great things, and that's what Wayne will tell you. There are a lot of really talented people.
That's what I like.
You know, those sanctioned guys, they do that every weekend. They're traveling around. They got their big rigs, and that's what they do. This is for the people. That's why it's the show of the people. That's the Horn Bash is the barbecue cook-off of the people. It's a chance to compete and see how your ribs stack up with other ribs. And the judges are going to be, you know, household names in the barbecue world, so you'll have a high level of accuracy on who is cooking up the best stuff, the ribs, the chicken, the brisket. And this year, Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off not only will be larger as far as total teams, there's also going to be a listener element. The folks who come will have a vote and a say on who is the best barbecue team.
Did I hear the word chicken in there? We're going to have some chicken.
Those are your
made?
Three meat categories for Horn Bash on May 4th. It'll be brisket, ribs,
chicken.
No, we're not be cooking that. You could, though. In your specialty dish that you're going to cook for the people. These nuts are some...
I just hope in year three that we'll get some gabrito in there.
Could. It's
get
up to
some
the teams.
Goat in there.
There could be some this year with one of our teams. They're going to have a specialty dish that everybody's going to get to sample.
I hope it is the goat.
All right. Hey, how about we pay off the B&E fact of the day? Toughest schedule in 2019. Because we already know in the NFL, we know who each team plays home and away, right? You know your 16 games. It's a formula that's been in place for 20 years in the National Football League. Every team plays each team in their division twice, right? So that's six games. Every team also plays a rotating division in their own conference. So in the AFC, that's four more games. And then a rotating NFC, you know, other conference, so that's four more. And then you play two intra-conference games against division equals. So you know your 16 teams. And based on last year's results, toughest schedule in the NFL in 2019 – Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders have the toughest schedule.
The Raiders, really?
The Raiders, yeah. The teams that they will face have a combined record from last year, 137, 117, and 2. That's 539 winning percentage. The fourth toughest schedule, though, belongs to your Houston Texans. Because the Houston Texans, I added this up, they play six playoff teams with seven games, so they're going to play the Colts twice. So there's six playoff teams on their schedule. And the Colts twice. So seven games against last year's playoff teams. The Texans will play five division champions in Kansas City, at Kansas City, at Los Angeles, the Rams, or the Chargers, I should say, not the Rams. And they're going to play New Orleans, at Baltimore, and New England all next year in their regular season. And so the Texans play six playoff teams, five division champions, and one Super Bowl team. The Cowboys have the 14th. Toughest schedule, and the toughest schedule in the NFC East because, as we say, in those intra-conference games against division equals, the Cowboys will, as the first-place team, they won the division last year. They will play at New Orleans, and they'll play the L.A. Rams as those rotating games. So they're going to play both Super Bowl teams because the Cowboys and their division plays the NFC North, meaning games against the Bears, Lions, the Vikings, and Packers. They will also play the AFC North, or East, East, which means New England, the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins.
You'll take 3-1 there.
Yeah, exactly. You got to beat the Jets. The Cowboys get to go to the J-E-T-E, Jets.
The New York J-E-T-E,
next season.
Jets.
We don't know when yet. The schedule as far as calendar has not come out yet, but the Cowboys will also go to New England this year to play Tom Brady and the Patriots. Texans.
Oh boy,
Texans.
Check one.
Yeah. And in that, they're rotating in the NFC division in their own conference that the Cowboys will play, NFC North. They go to Chicago, Soldier Field, the Cowboys do. They go to Detroit, they host Minnesota, they host Green Bay. So no. Aaron Rodgers at the Star, or up at the Jerry World, whatever,
it's
the spaceship.
Tough schedule right there.
Yeah, 14th toughest for the Cowboys on paper, and we know things change a lot in the NFL year to year. The Texans, the fourth toughest.
Yeah, schedule. Oakland needs to get the little kid from Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Oakland gets the toughest.
They got to get the little kid. They're going to need some. While they're getting their faces pounded in, they're going to need somebody to excite them a little bit.
Putting the ball right there in a turkey hole.
Go get him. You got enough draft picks. Go get a nice offensive line and get that kid and get him now. Let him get a year under his belt to get hit in the face and find out if he can take hits and move on. He'll be ready to go.
Well, I will present something to you.
Derek Carr's worth a lot. Somebody want that guy's good enough to be somebody's starter in the NFL or somebody's backup.
Well, that's right. The Raiders could actually trade Derek Carr before the draft and acquire another pick.
Yeah.
Or two.
Would you say a third rounder for him easily?
At least a third, I would argue. But we'll see. Now, it really depends on what each team values him at. The other big name to watch for is if Josh Rosen comes available. If the Arizona Cardinals with the first pick are really intent on, and after all the evaluations are done, decide that Kyler Murray is the guy and he's better than what Josh Rosen's, he has a higher ceiling than Josh Rosen.
Okay.
You could actually trade Josh Rosen and acquire another pick and take Kyler Murray.
I would take my chance with Derek Carr before Josh Rosen, but I would think that the New York Football Giants would like to get rid of Eli Manning, get Derek Carr in there, and get him some help because I think he's talented enough to have some
Giants
success.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, why not? Is that okay?
It sort of feels like they're going to take Haskins, doesn't it? Unless someone trades up in front
That's
of them.
That's the scuttlebutt, it sounds like.
They can't keep putting off drafting a quarterback.
No,
dude.
They cannot.
Well,
I agree.
But if you could trade a lesser pick and still keep your top 10 pick and get Derek Carr.
Would you like to take Derek Carr? He's okay.
He's an established quarterback in the league and has been to a Pro Bowl or two and it was on the verge of superstardom, I thought.
It wasn't about him, really, was it? About that team.
I'd ask Amari Cooper what it was like in Oakland. I mean, that thing's just gone south and everybody in it, the culture has changed.
Bitterman, Amari Cooper.
Yeah, because they fired Jack Del Rio. They hired John Gruden. But I'll say this. Jay Glazer of Fox. Jay Glazer, the insider, has connected the dots and he still believes there's a chance that the Giants trade Odell Beckham. And it's not that, you know, A, Odell Beckham comes with a bit of a circus, but also that they have so many holes that the new coach has come in, Pat Shurmur, and said, look, we got more holes than, you know, and if we could trade Odell Beckham Jr. to fill some of those holes, because he is a 25-year-old superstar receiver that we get multiple assets for.
Ooh, I'm not letting that dude go.
They're a mess on their offensive line. They're a mess at quarterback. They're a mess at pass rush. And, you know, Odell Beckham's good, but with all those holes, you're not going to win. Just because of Odell Beckham.
Do they have enough wide receivers, too, besides him? I know.
Yeah, but you could. Yeah, they have nice young wide receivers, but you could draft another one, too, if you.
Sure.
But you know.
Find them in the third round.
It really is if you could find a team like Oakland. You know, someone's got a lot of draft capital that could send your way to make a play. And I mentioned Indianapolis yesterday. That would not be good. I'd hate to see Odell Beckham with the Colts and all their draft picks and Andrew Luck. Hey, how about the headlines? Then we'll talk to Wayne Miller. Then we'll talk to you and take your buck-ons and buck-offs. But first, the news. UBO Business Services brings you the news. We'll start with your college hoops from the Ticket City Update Desk. And, yeah, much hyped affair last night at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Duke and North Carolina, the Tobacco Road rivalry. And Zion Williamson, the phenomenal freshman. Everybody came to see him. He blew out his shoe, and then 8th-ranked North Carolina blew out the Dukies, 88-72. The phenomenal freshman made a hard cut just 33 seconds into the game. His left Nike shoe blew out. Did the half splits and in the process landed awkwardly and sprained his right knee, left the game. With him out, Tar Heel senior Luke May took full advantage in the paint. He scored 30 points, grabbed 15 rebounds to lead the Tar Heels to a huge road win. Meanwhile, a star-studded crowd that included the former president Barack Obama, Spike Lee, Hall of Fame outfielder Ken Griffey Jr. in attendance. They left the game unhappy. Mike Krzyzewski with an update afterwards.
Injury with Zion, obviously, you know, whatever. You know, the very first thing is just to address that. It's a mild knee sprain. The knee is stable. We don't know how long he'll be out. I think we'll find out more about that.
Month ago, Texas A&M President Michael Young said publicly he was in favor of restoring the Texas A&M annual football game. However, based on a report in the Dallas Morning News today and emails that they obtained through a Freedom of Information Act, that does not seem to be the case and the plans from the president. In the emails that they acquired through the Freedom of Information Act, In emails to fans, he wrote, quote, it's unlikely to happen, adding that, quote, we have no plans to renew that rivalry game at this time for very practical reasons. NFL news took a it's now a lock that Le'Veon Bell will hit the free agent market come March with no strings attached. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert announced yesterday the team will not use the transition tag on the 27-year-old running back who sat out all of last season in a contract dispute for forfeiting $14 million in salary. Upon hearing the news, Bell tweeted, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty I am free at last. Possibly huge news on the racing front. Business model for the Circuit of the Americas and their biggest race each year, the F1 U.S. Grand Prix, built on an annual payment from the state of Texas and the Major Events Trust Fund that gives them $25 million to help offset the cost of that race. However, yesterday the state rejected COTA's formal application for the 2018 payment on a legal technicality, claiming that it did not submit the proper paperwork a month before the race as is required. We'll keep you posted on that story. In golf, Steve Stricker has been named the captain of the 2020 U.S. Ryder Cup team. Stricker will be the captain of the American squad at Whistling Straits in his home state of Wisconsin against Patrick Harrington and the European side. He's the first captain without a major championship to his name on the U.S. side, and that's the news.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
What is on Seinfeld, what is Dreyfus? What is her name?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yeah,
Elaine Bennis.
Elaine, I'm going to put her down as not one of the top characters.
Oh,
sorry
that's
about that.
The interplay between the main characters, what makes that show, and you'll debate yourself to death.
I'm still saying Kramer.
Kramer's the most important character?
Kramer is one of the most important.
No.
Kramer is the most important character on the show. And has been. Now, the parents
Costanza.
Of Jerry are pretty good.
What was
Jerry's parents' name?
Kramer was hilarious in flavor.
He's
Jerry was kind of the lead. Elaine was poor. But Costanza was the antagonist always, right? Wasn't he always the guy just causing the problems?
Anybody could be George Costanza.
That's the whole point, though. He kind of was everybody.
No. Even BK's watching this madness.
But self-centered, because BK is now watching Seinfeld for the first time all the way through. You know, he's
do you remember Jerry's parents' name?
Oh, no, but Del Boca Vista.
Those people.
Well, all the side characters were wonderful. They just added the flavor to the show, and they were all great. But the key, Costanza.
Hello. What was that dude's name?
George. Oh, Newman?
Hello, Newman.
Newman was good.
Newman. Maybe it's Newman. Maybe Newman's the main guy. Newman comes in. When Newman comes into that fold, he is funny as hell. He doesn't say much, but when they go, hello, Newman. But I'm still saying Kramer, sorry. You can have Elaine. You can have George. George is just okay. BK watches. George is just okay. Any BK?
He's pretty funny, man.
Come on, man. He's not the most important. Kramer?
Jerry's the most important, but... I might be with you on the Kramer as my favorite character, if that's the question. Dude just cracks me up, man. Everything he does is hilarious to me.
I can't even look at him.
Looking at the dude makes me laugh.
I'm serious.
Morty was Jerry's dad.
Oh, Morty?
Yeah, Morty was good.
Del Boca Vista guy? That was him?
Del Boca Vista. Who doesn't want to move to Del Boca Vista?
Everybody does. Joey Freshwater did. Of course, everybody does.
Yeah, but George was the perfect combination of insecure but overconfident.
I just always wanted to beat up George for some reason. As that show went on, I just wanted to get in the ring with him.
Pudgy, bald George,
yes.
Like had standards for women that look ridiculous. So he was,
and he had some decent girls.
Right. But then he would screw it up. He was always the focal
point. Did that
point.
Dude kill one? She was licked a stamp or something, licked an envelope and died?
I think that was that George or Jerry?
It was George.
Well, it was the stamps for his wedding. Wasn't it?
Was the envelopes
for the wedding invitation.
The lady died.
Oops.
Oh, sorry. But I'm glad BK's watching that. That's good. That's good for you to get back and say that's some good stuff. Because I'm just getting to it.
Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner at 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by the Hyatt Regency Lost Pines Resort and Spa, just 23 miles from Austin.
Says Monty was Jerry's dad.
Monty Williams?
Yeah.
No. Morty. No, that says Morty.
Oh, boy. Oh,
you read that wrong.
Sorry.
You just want to laugh at Monty. What are you doing
I'm sorry.
You guys are not that far apart in age, my friend. This says, important, it's obvious, Jerry, the show is named after him. Funniest was George. Well, they were all Seinfeld's friends, and it was pretty much based in his apartment. So, yes, Jerry is a key character. I think it's George, though.
And that nasty little restaurant.
The diner.
It's Jim's.
That's Jim's with the big salad. And
yes.
Okay, we'll have more Seinfeld talk. We're trying to get Wayne Miller. Wayne Miller's supposed to join us, but you know he stays up all night, that guy, Wayne, smoking meat.
A little snooze. He's taking a little snooze, maybe?
Yeah, well, his hours, Wayne Miller's hours, when you put out, when you know you got to smoke meat all night long. Ask Casey Studdard about this out of Whitfield's, what their grind is. And you know, Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor is open 6 days a week. So you got to have that meat ready to go every day at lunchtime. And it's serve it till it's gone. That, there are some places that do the smoked meat that they're just open, you know, once a week, which is a little less of a grind. You're going every day outside of, you know, one day a week. He's got some weird hours. We'll talk to Wayne. He's great. First, though, Buck, tell him about
the drugs.
The good RX, man.
Got to tell him about the drugs. They're free. They're no hassle. I mean, the drugs aren't free, but you do get a great deal, as I've been saying. GoodRx compares prices of every FDA-approved drug at pharmacies right here in Austin. You get these free downloadable coupons, and now you can start saving on all of your medications. New as I've been doing, last year GoodRx saved Americans over $2 billion on their medications. You could be spending hundreds, even thousands of dollars for yours. Why would you want to do that? Imagine paying even less for your insurance copay. GoodRx can sometimes find medications absolutely free. You've seen all the commercials on TV, and they have a bunch of them right now, where the young lady tells you in the last 3 years, each and every year she saved $1,400 on her medications. So can you. I do it. You need to do it. Get the best prices. Get those downloadable free coupons and start to save. GoodRx is not insurance now. Savings is based upon retail price of medications without insurance.
This says Jerry Stiller is George's dad. The best. Yeah, he was pretty good. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We're excited to bring him back to the show. He is going to be, once again, the pitmaster, our head pitmaster for our Hornbash 2019 barbecue cook-off. 40 teams this year, 10 great judges, all kinds of fun. And it's our buddy Wayne Miller from Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, the third generation and owner and pitmaster of that great establishment in Taylor. Wayne, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How is everyone?
Doing fantastic, Wayne.
Did you sleep last night at all, or are you just rolling on?
No, I actually got some sleep last night. It's one of those rare evenings.
Nice.
Good for you, man.
Where I can find them.
Well, that's good. Now, excited to announce that folks can start getting signed up. Their barbecue teams, especially the ones that were there last year and the ones that want to try it this year for Hornbash 2019. You were our leader for it last year. This thing came together because, you know, you and I got together, did some interviews on the radio with Buck here, and the next thing you know, we're doing a barbecue cook-off at Hornbash. Tell folks from last year's experience for you, Wayne, and you travel around and compete in a lot of these things and are a part of a lot of these barbecue cook-offs. How did we do last year, and how much fun was it for you to be a part of it?
It was so much fun last year. It was, you know, we had a group of guys who, some of them had competed, some of them hadn't, and I think the whole camaraderie that came out of it was really wonderful. And every event that I go to, every competition that I go to, the basis of it is there's people wanting to cook, get together, have fun, share their offerings, and really just be part of the community. And last year, that's exactly what we saw. And I expect to see more of that again this year.
You know, I saw so many people sharing their ideas, not just their recipe, because guys are and gals are kind of hard to get the recipes from them. But they shared different types of cooking ideas with people. And they didn't feel bad about sharing those ideas with folks. I thought that was the coolest part for me.
Yeah, everybody has their ideas of things, and they want everybody else to know them. So, you know, it's a chance to show up a little bit, show off, and showcase your skills of live fire cooking. And it's growing everywhere you go. There's more of these competitions popping up.
Well, and it was something you and I and the station and Buck wanted to put together, a part of Hornbash, which is our ultimate, you know, listener appreciation day and weekend, really to get people together, but that this becomes the center of attention because everybody gets to sample and try a lot of great barbecue and meet a lot of great people. Even if you're not on one of the smoke teams, we want you to come out and be a part of it. But Wayne, the cool thing I think is we had 25 teams a year ago. We're going to try to get to 40 teams this year with a different arrangement, a different area of Buck's backyard. But It's non-sanctioned. So folks who, you know, do this on the weekends in their backyard and think their stuff's pretty darn good, it's an opportunity for them to come out. And we met a lot of those people last year that just want to try. And they're not competing against these mega teams and things like that, these corporate groups. They're just competing against guys and having a good time and seeing how their meat stacks up.
I think that's just the best part of it, is you get to extend what you do in your backyard and share it with more people than just your family and friends. Now you get to, it's the Horn listenership. That's really who the family and friends are. And, you know, I see this thing growing and getting bigger year after year, jumping from 25 to 40 teams this year. I think it's attendance, people coming to see what's going on and check out what the fellow listeners are up to. I think this is just a fabulous event.
Making me hungry.
Yeah, well, and again, the three meets that we will judge on, and we're going to have 10 judges, Wayne, and the 10 judges will come from the barbecue industry, and people that are very familiar with barbecue. We'll get you those names as we roll this thing out, but you'll be judged by people who know what they're talking about and know great barbecue. You'll be the leader of it, but three meets will be brisket, ribs, and chicken. There'll also be, this is cool this year, Wayne, we're going to let the listeners, you just said the listener community, when you come to Horn Bash, you're going to get a little poker chip, and you're going to get to sample the 40 teams and actually vote on which team you thought had the best spirit, which team you thought had the best and most flavorful dish. So you get to be a part of it as a listener, not just the judges. There's going to be a whole nother award awarded for the team that the teams that the listeners had the most fun with and enjoyed their food. So not just the barbecue judges, but also the listeners can participate this year.
That's right. It's a traveling food circus, and everybody's participating. So whether you're cooking or sampling, you're all in it. It's going to be so much fun.
It is. Hey, Wayne, we appreciate you. We can't wait to talk to you more and get these teams together and get it to 40 total and get this thing rocking and rolling. May the 4th, Buck's Backyard, Buta will be the location. We got a new spot there at the location. We're going to organize it kind of like a market area where you can do the tour of all the barbecue teams, meet everybody. We'll get you details as we roll on towards May. But, Wayne, we appreciate you. So happy you're our smoked meat ambassador and tip of our spear for Horn Bash and the barbecue cook-off.
Thank you, Wayne.
Guys, thank you so much. Guys, anybody out there listening, guys and gals, get signed up now. Those teams are going to go fast.
Well, that's the thing. Only 40, and we have already had mad demand from folks who played it or participated and competed last year that want to come back, and we had 25. So here it is. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate you. Hornbash.com. We have a website this year. Make it so simple. You go to hornbash.com. You'll see everything you need. It's the ultimate Horn listener appreciation party and weekend at Buck's Backyard in Buta. There's a link at the top for barbecue cook-off. That's where you'll sign up your teams. And once we get to the first 40 that are in and entered, what we're going to do is get to about 35, and then the rest are going to be in a lottery. I mean, who knows how many entries we get on this.
Sure.
But non-sanctioned, get your team in, commit to the weekend. And we found out last year, Buck, you found out, those dudes have so much fun. They come out and camp out all night with their buddies. They bring their coolers of drinks, and they smoke the meat all night long. And when Wayne says camaraderie, you know, Friday night of Horn Bash, we're going to have a campfire for all the barbecue teams and have some fun and really get to know one another. Then, of course, on Saturday, it's from noon until about 9 o'clock. The barbecue cook-off will be a feature, but we'll also have washer tournaments and cornhole tournaments and golf activations that you can participate and compete in.
Bean bag.
It's all about getting together with you, and we'll have shops and vendors and fun, and of course live music. We're gonna have live music from 2 o'clock all the way to 9 o'clock up on the stage there outside at Buck's Backyard. Plenty of cold drinks, plenty of fun. And how about this? BK and Trey are in charge of something we're gonna call for Horn Bash the Sportscaster Disaster. This is where
I think you said it right there.
No, this is great.
Disaster.
This is where throughout the course of Horn Bash, if you think you can get on the mics and do 15 minutes of a show and just knock it out.
By yourself?
Or with a buddy. We're going to set up our equipment so that you can try it out. And we'll give you the tape. You can be able to listen to it. The Sportscaster
Disaster.
It's like
an audition for my,
yeah,
my
like
gig
American
or something.
Idol. It'll be like American Idol.
Somebody trying to get my gig.
You'll take Wags' job.
Yeah, someone might find the next big thing.
Sounds cool.
Or we'll
get
make fun of
Wags.
It. Or we'll take it all and make fun of it on the shows.
Oh, we'll make
after
fun
Horn
of
Bash.
It.
Of how great they were. Like you'll be like Sergio Dip on the show.
Having the time of his life.
It just didn't go well. But it's going to be a blast. And I should also say, we'll roll out more details, but this is a free event. It won't cost you to enter, but you're going to have a pass, if that makes sense, because we need to know how many passes we hand out so we can anticipate how many people are coming. But we'll make it very, very easy over the course of the next several months to get you a pass. But details will come. But it's free. There'll be some charges once you get there, but free to get in, free entry, ultimate listener event, and a lot of fun. And I should also add that the beneficiary this year, our partners, the NFL alumni, and their children's charities, their Fight for Children's charities.
They're
here in
the number one in the NFL.
Which means when you have NFL alumni involved, you're going to have a ton of NFL alumni guys out there walking around, signing autographs, meeting people. And we may actually have teams in our barbecue cook-off or NFL alumni guys who play in the National Football League that want to be a part of the competition. So it's going to be so much fun. All we would say at this point, as with the details will be rolled out, the first big announcement is go to hornbash.com to get your barbecue team signed up. Clear the date of May the 4th. And make sure you're free to go and be down in Buda at Buck's Backyard from noon to 8 or 9 o'clock at night. We're going to have a heck of a lot of fun and can't wait to see everybody out there. And thrilled to have Wayne Miller back in charge of the barbecue cook-off, which is going to be bigger and better and so much damn fun. Can't wait. Can't wait. So thank you to Wayne. Good stuff right
there. Good dude, man.
We'll check in with Wayne. We'll also, over the course of the next several weeks, start to check in with some of the winners from last year, who was the all-round team. Because in addition to voting Buck the meats, the brisket, the pork ribs, or the brisket ribs and chicken, there's also an all-round winner. So if all your meats stack up, you could actually win all round without winning one of the categories.
Like the grand cow or the grand bull.
The grand smoker.
Like of the rodeo.
The grand smoker.
I love that. The grand smoker.
And that's kind of an honor, man. You're the Horns grand smoke-off barbecue team. And you could be that. You could aim to succeed. So we're excited to have everybody be a part of it. Hornbash.com is where you go to
pretty
sign
easy.
Up for that. Pretty darn simple. And once you start getting signed up, we'll get your teams up there on the website. We'll get to meet these pit masters and all the teams and be get to know them before the event on May the 4th. There you go. Wayne, thank you to Wayne. Quick timeout. We'll come back. More buck-ons and buck-offs. So we got hot or not before the end of this hour. And more on the top stories today, including Zion Williamson blowing out his Nike shoe and then hurting his knee. Will he play again for Duke? We'll debate that coming up.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, text rolling in on our conversation with Wayne Miller on Hornbash and the Barbecue Golf. Captain Rhino's team was there. I think they might have been the winning team last year, Rhino and his crew. They
Long-time listener, Rhino.
Yeah, Captain Rhino. They were our winning group, I believe, the all-round. This says, can't wait, guys. It was a great time last year. Met a lot of cool people. Wayne does a great job keeping all us cookers in line. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. May 4th. We'll have more on that moving forward. And hornbash.com is the marching order if you want to be a part of it as a barbecue cook-off team. Over the course of the next several weeks and in months, we'll announce our live music lineup. We'll announce how you can be a part of the washer tournaments and the golf activations and all the fun that's going to go on there for the day on May the 4th. And you can come with your May the 4th be with you things, and we'll certainly take those. And I want to thank our partners at the NFL Alumni and their Children's Charities Quest, and they're going to be a great partner with us in this event. Buck's Backyard, the crew here at the Horn making this thing come together. 1 hour from now, Buck, we'll talk with David Pierce, head baseball coach, University of Texas.
Normally, he's up and about.
Yeah, they had a late night at Rice coming in Tuesday night into Wednesday, so we let him slide. We'll talk to Coach Pierce. Has to be pretty optimistic about a 3-1 start, a .286 team batting average, high slugging percentage in their first four games, and now they open the home slate with Purdue this weekend. So David Pierce in 1 hour. Buck, the Duke game last night, which you were telling our people, it's all about Duke.
I didn't know Duke was going to blow out his shoe in 37 seconds into the game. Maybe I put that on him. Some people are blaming me for that guy's injury. You can't blame me.
Praising you, dude. Anybody who heard that pick should have picked UNC last night.
They did.
My hand's up.
They should be praising My hand is up. You for that.
There's tons of people that are just... I got
heaping thank
messages.
Yous to
you. Yeah, just saying, hey, keep up the good work, loser.
Because all you want in a predictor is consistency. We just need you to be consistently really good or consistently really awful. And
that was more of a blended 6% last year in football. So
about 6%, so 6 out of 100 is about right.
I'm doing pretty well.
Splendid 6% for your work on college
football.
I felt
like I was doing better in basketball until that pick yesterday.
Well, look, you're right about the fact that Jay Billis kept saying it. Of course, the Duke grad Jay Billis kept saying he's not. Have we ever seen anything like that in a big event? But look, Zion Williamson was the reason the tickets were $3,000. He was
yes.
the reason Barack Obama was sitting behind the
right.
Duke bench. And Ken Griffey Jr. was there, and Spike Lee was there. You know, Cam Reddish is a nice young player, and R.J. Barrett's a great young player.
They have some other great picks to go in the draft.
And those two did their job last night. They scored like 60 points. The rest of the team didn't do anything once Zion went out. But without Zion in the middle, I mean, he's the best prospect since LeBron. And we heard Roy Williams yesterday saying he's never seen a player with his skill set at the college level, and Roy's been doing it for 30-some years. So that's obviously a huge loss, but it was just a deflation. Can we think of another game or sport? I mean, in a boxing match that you get all excited about, or I know the the UFC fight over the weekend, everybody's excited about it. It lasted like 26 seconds and it was over. But that's the event's over at that point. It's kind of a downer because it lasted 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. But it felt like last night they still had to play a whole rest of the game. But it felt like the whole building deflated. Everybody was more worried about Zion and how his knee was. And, you know, North Carolina will not get credit for the game that they played because they were really good last night and blew out the number one team in the country on their own floor. But clearly without Zion, they were a different team. So I don't know. Can anybody think of anything? Have we seen anything like that where there's a lot of hype and then all of a sudden it just deflates so quickly?
That wasn't even started. 37 seconds, not even start.
And I'll be honest with you, I turned it on to see the replay. I didn't see the actual injury live because I was watching something else and I flipped over. I said, it's 8 o'clock. So I flipped over, game had started, and I saw the first replay and Zion kind of limping off the field and the shoe explode. But just bizarro world.
But he will be back. About a week or so, he'll be back.
I anticipate seeing him play again, but it's not going to surprise me if his camp gathers during this downtime and says, you know, because, look, this is a snicker at Kawhi Leonard, but he certainly could continue to go, look, I'm not 100% yet. I'm not coming back till I'm 100%, and it still feels a little cranky, and I'm not, you know, he could almost go that direction into the tournament. But most anticipate the competitor that he is,
right. He'll
get back on the floor and he'll compete, but no one's going to criticize the guy with the golden lottery ticket in his pocket. The number one pick in the draft. The only way he won't be the number one pick in the draft is this summer is an injury. If he's injured, you know, he could tear an ACL and he still might be the first pick in the draft.
Or sit out a year and still come back. Yeah,
yeah, it's possible because he's that good.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player.
He's that rare. But, you know, this says Duke should have been able to win without Zion. Well, look, you could say that, but this
guy kind of deflates the rest of the guys around you real quick.
Talk about a guy who gets you 24 points a night. He gets you 10 rebounds a night. He blocks shots. He shoots 70%. That's a huge hole in the middle of your team.
Changes the atmosphere in an arena.
Right, and it deflated the team and the arena, and it fired up North Carolina because their guy Sean May, the senior, just kept pounding the rack and ended up with 30 and 15. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. He's the key to what they do and the reason they're number one in the country.
How about May? Is he going to look like an NBA type of player, BK? Does he look like he's a guy who's going to be able to go in there physically and bang around and make that jump shot? Because he can shoot, too. I like the way he shoots.
Yeah, he's an awesome college player. I don't know.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
He doesn't look like the body of an NBA big. He'd get overwhelmed athletically and size-wise.
That's what I was saying. He's not that athletic, huh?
Yeah.
He's been great over his last, 3 years, 4 years
old?
He's been a great player.
He's awesome. He's one of the best players in the country. He's an All-American. He's really, really good, but he's like 6'8", 240, and kind of unathletic. That usually doesn't sell well in today's league.
They'll be knocking and blocking all his shots.
But, he's very fundamentally sound.
Well, the wings in the NBA now are 6'8". You know, the perimeter players are...
He can't get
Simmons
a one-on-one
shot.
Point
guard is 6'8".
Ben Simmons is
6'10".
Giannis is whatever he wants to be, and he's 6'11". He can do whatever he wants.
It's a different sport now.
Different animal. Really great college basketball player, and he had a great night last night. And that's a little bit unfortunate for North Carolina. They won't get credit for those seniors going into Duke and winning that game. It's still a huge rivalry.
They still got another game to play against them.
March 9th is the date to circle. That would be back in Chapel Hill. Will Zion play will become the question.
I was telling you that the Blue Bonnets are out. My Blue Bonnet picture will be taken here in the next 3 weeks because the Blue Bonnets will be in full bloom. It will have an Asian theme to it. I'll just say that. I'll just let you know.
Chopsticks?
No.
China.
But I will have...
Why Asian?
No disrespect.
Well...
Because last year you dressed up like Woody from Toy Story.
And I have not stopped hearing that.
The year before you went shirtless...
This
which I have
year,
not stopped. Yes. I can't unsee.
Well, this one will have to do with sticks in a group of men, so I will be ready to take that picture over the next...
Oh, the jingy?
Yes, we'll be taking my photo very soon here, as soon as the Blue Bonnets are out. But the winner is, we'll have there'll be the Van Zandt, Tito's, and a fully paid trip to Lake Charles for somebody.
Louisiana?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Lake Charles, Louisiana?
Yeah.
You submit your... Like if the people submit their pictures?
Yeah, they're the winner. I don't get to win.
Their Blue Bond. Does it have to be the Asian theme that you were talking
about? No. That's just going to be my theme.
Okay.
Their theme is different. They always do the puppies or the babies.
You know, like when we do this Blue Bond contest, we end up getting like two Bluebonnet picture, because dudes don't like their picture in Bluebonnets.
Yeah, well, they will.
Whatever the prize, dudes are like, dude, not doing it.
Dudes don't like their pictures.
Oh, hold on. There are some dudes on Insta or Gram or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
or Twitter.
They
certainly like their picture.
They love them pictures.
You know who likes his picture? Mr. Big Chest. Buck off to Big Antonio Brown. Mr. Big Chest. But, hey, listen.
And Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, we'll get back to Le'Veon Bell. He's quoting Martin Luther King now.
That was
MLK,
amazing.
Based on his ability to be a free agent in
that
football.
Yeah, I lost 14 mil.
Hey,
not
how about,
smart.
How about this one? This is great. I asked for games that remind you of last night's Duke game. Texas-Alabama 09. That's very true. When Colt McCoy got hurt on the first series, Texas was going right down the field. Like,
oh, they were going to win the game, remember?
Like crap through a goose.
They were
going to
win
that.
That was a national championship.
Mac Brown will tell you to his grave that they would have won that game because they had a great game plan.
You know, every Texas fan will tell you to their grave that they were going to win that game. What are they, Aggies now?
Listen, they
did the game. Did they win the game?
Even people behind the scenes, Mac Brown and his staff would tell you they felt very confident going in because they had a great game plan. The weakness of that Alabama team. Remember, that was one of those early Nick Saban teams. The secondary was not that good, and Texas was ready to torch them. And before Colt's injury, they were. Colt goes down, you throw a true freshman who had hardly played in the game, and obviously your chances dramatically dwindle. And
it sounds like Alabama should give that trophy back to Texas.
Yes,
they should.
That's not,
yes, they should.
You always take things too far.
No, what do you mean?
No one's saying that.
Give it back.
But if Colt doesn't get hurt, Texas has a really, really good chance to win that football
game. That sounds better.
That's
my opinion. Like you were saying that they were going to win that game.
They still gave up two 100-yard rushers. They still couldn't stop Alabama's running game. But Texas... You know, you had a quarterback who got into the game, Garrett Gilbert, who committed four turnovers and gave them a bunch of points in short fields and tried to bring them back. I don't think Colt turns the ball over four times in that game against that Alabama defense. That would be my opinion. That was the year he was Mr. Accuracy and, you know, shredding people with Jordan Shipley and that group. All right, we'll take your thoughts. There you go. At 09. But it's certainly on the Duke conversation, it did deflate. I mean, it's like, oh, man, well, there goes the whole game. There goes the whole point
of
watching.
Now we only have two top five picks and three McDonald's All-Americans on our team. Damn.
Well, against a senior-laden top eight team in the country.
How long was the game good for, actually?
33 seconds.
No, I mean, seriously. How was it? Was
the
it,
Duke game?
Yeah, I mean, was it?
No, but by the time Duke realized, wait a second, what's going on with Zion, they were down 10 points. And North Carolina may have won the game last night regardless. May have won that game if Zion plays. Who knows? They were really good last night. They were focused. They knew what their game plan was going to be. They attacked the rim with entry passes, and they were tremendous. They were the more veteran team in a matchup. All right, come back. It'll be Hot or Not with BK. David Pierce, head baseball coach at Texas, in our next hour, and your Buck-Ons and Buck-Offs with B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
Allstats beers are carefully made using only four ingredients: hops, barley, yeast, and artesian spring water. Authentic German beer from the great state of Texas. It's Allstats beer.
All right, it is Hot or Not every morning about this time, just before 8 o'clock. David Pierce will join this show, head baseball coach at Texas, at 8:30. Our weekly visit, pushed back one day because of their schedule and travel schedule on Tuesday into Wednesday. Reset your headlines coming up, including the question of who over at Coda forgot to file the paperwork. Could be a $25 million technicality. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks mad at the Buck over there on your questioning when Texas have won the 2009 National Championship game. Colt McCoy had not gotten hurt.
Of course they're mad
series.
At me because they automatically said, most people said, we would have won that game.
This says from CB, Buck. Greg McElroy's final line for that game, 6 for 11, 79 yards. This says, hell yeah, we would have won that game. We were within a score late in the game with a turnover-prone freshman quarterback. Oh, by the way, 6 for 11 for Greg McElroy for 58 yards. Yucks. They couldn't stop the run. But with Colt, would have kept them off the field more and wouldn't have turned the ball over four times.
So you're saying they would have won, too?
I feel like it would have been a really good chance.
You keep. Which one is it?
Would they have won the game? Emphatically, Texas fans can say emphatically. I'll be a fair observer and say they would have had a great chance to win that game.
I like the word chance to win the game. They didn't win the game.
They still would have had to execute and win the game, and who knows? But
right.
And maybe if Greg Davis hadn't called the shovel pass.
See, now you're blaming Greg Davis.
Well,
the guy's the best offensive mind in the history of UT football.
Go to the locker room. Don't run the shovel pass that gets intercepted and returned for a touchdown right before halftime.
Any doubt that Greg Davis was the greatest offensive mind in Texas football history. Wait a minute now. Offensive
more than
numbers?
Oh, he's got every record in the record book.
As an
offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But we'll see what this crew can do. Coming offense the next several
years.
Right. And Tom Herman, of course, credits Greg Davis for some of his formative offensive philosophy.
He does, when he was a graduate assistant.
Hey, BK, what do you have in Hot or Not, my friend?
All right, guys, one story today. Well, the second half of the NBA season starts tonight.
Ooh.
And one of the big storylines is the L.A. Lakers, who are currently 3 games out of the 8th and final playoff spot in the Western Conference.
Are they 10th place?
They are in 10th place, yes, sir. LeBron came out yesterday and said his normal playoff intensity is starting now. It's starting early to try to get the Lake Show into the postseason. Lakers-Rockets tonight on TNT. Guys, predictions now. Does LeBron make the playoffs, or does his streak of 13 straight postseasons come to an end?
Well, as I said, he's been making movies. He's got a new game show that's coming out, something about a mile run or something like that. I saw him on TV advertising his new show that's coming out. So maybe he's done for the year. Now it's time to play basketball. Now he's got his movies in the can. He wants to peak and start playing great basketball. I'm going to say they don't make it.
I'm going to say in LeBron, I trust my fellow Akron, Ohio brethren.
That's right, from across the tracks.
Not that far out. He's going to turn on the Jay. Hey, guy hadn't played. Guy has not even, he's been coasting. You know, this guy was an iron horse for years in Cleveland trying to win that championship.
Played every night.
Played every night. He's kind of taking it easy in California like they tend to do out there.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you're going to chase Sacramento and the Clippers and the fading Spurs as well, by the way, who are a mess right now.
Is Indiana in that deal without their start?
Wrong side. No, but in there, I mean, it's the Clippers, it's San Antonio, it's Sacramento that's in that mix. I think they're going to get the 8 seed, and I think they're going to play Golden State in the first round. So you'll have LeBron against the Warriors in round one of the NBA's playoffs come April, just before Hornbash. But yes, I think they'll make it.
Okay.
I'm not a Clippers believer. Clippers just traded their best player to the Philadelphia 76ers at the trade deadline.
No.
They're playing for the offseason. San Antonio is fading fast on their rodeo road trip and looking a bit of a mess. And Sacramento, I like them. They're upstart, but very young still. So I'm going to take LeBron James and the Lakers to make the
playoff. Bron, okay.
Hey, we'll come back when we do more of this fun stuff. More Buck-ons and Buck-offs. The Duke situation last night with Zion. How about the Aggie president saying, hey, putting the brakes on any hope of a future or at least near future rivalry returning for Texas and Texas A&M. Details coming. It's B&E on the Horn.